Today's psalm is Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions that tear their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. This is the word of the Lord.
I've never preached a psalm for Good Friday, ever. In fact, this whole last couple of weeks, I've been looking at the psalms as we've gone through the whole of Lent, the lead up to Easter. But when I got to today, I was looking at Psalm 22 and it just grabbed me. And I'll tell you, I've got to say, this sermon has moved me deeply as I've been putting it together for you, brothers and sisters. It really has. The beautiful words from Psalm 22 go, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, but I find no rest. I sat with a man a number of years back. Nothing had trained me for this event. Absolutely nothing. He was now widowed. His children were gone. He was broken. He was angry. He was hurt at the loss of life of the whole of his family apart from himself. He'd grown up in the church. And in his pain of loss, it could be justified to ask, where was God? And how does God provide and protect? And you know what? If in that moment, in the silence of that moment, he could have just given up his faith, I think we all would have said he's probably justified to do so. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let the Lord deliver him. Since he delights in him, says the psalm. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my arm and you are my strength. Come to me quickly and give me help. These are not words that were rushing to mind at this moment as I was sitting with this man. You know, we sat there, and after a while he said, "Would you pray with me?" He prayed angry words, hurt words. He prayed words that many would have said were very offensive to God. But you know what? God can handle it. God can handle it. The anguish continued to mount until, after a number of months, all of a sudden he just uttered a cry that was so forceful, it could only be described as a scream. No word was spoken, just a loud, angry scream against the forces of heaven and hell, as if to say, "I've hurt all I can. I've paid my dues for love. Help me now." And like Job in his loss, there were no words of comfort and there were no words bringing comfort. Trust me, I searched deep for the right words. However, after the scream, a silence that followed was quieter than silence. It really was. A peace was evidence, and for the first time in months, there was this peace that washed into this broken man's life. Scripture might have said angels came and ministered to him at that time. And I think they did. I think God and angels were there ministering to him. The journey of this Good Friday is not some sentimental journey that we relive once a year as we follow Jesus to a cross. But a journey of the cross is indeed real and live journey for each one of us. For I believe that all of us at one time or another have journeyed to our Jerusalem, where we have encountered the cross and where we feel separated from God in the reality of our life and its journey. Our inner soul rebels against God, brothers and sisters. And we as humans have separated ourselves from God. We deny him, we defy him, we ignore him. And deep down in the depths of our beings, we hate him because we don't want God to be God. We often want us to be God. And I think that this is one of the greatest wrestles that we have in our lives. And so what's God's response to this? Well, sometimes I think he's just looking down with his hands clasped behind his back, and he is absolutely torn between his justice and mercy, between his anger, his love, between vengeance, compassion. And with tears of love flowing down, he looks at us, because God's nature is not our nature. One moment determining to be through with all of humanity, leaving them to their own devices, and the next wanting to lift us all into his arms and hold us fast to his heart in love because of his compassion. And he could not punish us, so he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to be the punishment and to take it all. The cross is the symbol of the constant battle that is taking place in our lives. And we struggle with the love of God for us and the brokenness we face in this world. And it is a real struggle sometimes. We struggle with the unanswerable questions. And if God did love us that much and he punished his son, why do we still have to encounter circumstances in our lives that separate us from God? Why are we now not inoculated against sin, sickness, brokenness, shame, all of that? And these are real questions. Brothers and sisters, God has not abandoned you. God did not promise our journey would be paved with a road of ease, of peace and goodness. But for many, if their road is not paved with these kinds of things, they somehow believe that God has abandoned them, or this God they have believed in has been lying to them. Good Friday has mystery, though. Folks, the cross of Calvary is an example for us that God works in ways different than we can comprehend. And today is called Good Friday because out of death and the pain and the anguish and the tears and the bitterness of the cross, God brought life on that first Easter morning. God continues to work in mysterious ways. You know, we want success, we want fame, we want glory, we want prosperity. But God says those things don't necessarily need to be there for life to be full and rewarding. God says out of the brokenness of life, out of those events, the circumstances that remind us that we're not what we want to be, God can bring a measure of his grace, his peace, his power that was not there before. So does a faith in God preclude accepting and acknowledging the weakness, the vulnerability, the brokenness, the humanity, the emotion of dealing with pain in this world? No. You don't have to be an emotional superhuman to live through this world. No. We're created to be in community and to share and support each other with our burdens and our trials. Jesus looks down from the cross for each one of us, looking with eyes that say, come. Come follow me. For in the weakness of the cross, we saw the greatest power of God displayed. In the pain of the cross, we saw the greatest love of God displayed and given. In the brokenness, the agony, the bitterness, the pain of the cross, we saw the majesty of God displayed for all the world to see. So I think in all areas of our lives, the strong as well as the weak areas of our lives, the good as well as the bad, the healthy as well as the sick and broken, we see, feel, and experience the power of God. And you know, God accepts us for who we are, for what we are, with faults, with our weaknesses, with our failures, with our lives that do not measure up to the expectations of others. God accepts us. The cross of Calvary points out to us that God accepts us with our weakness as well as with our strengths. Because on that cross, God not only showed us his power, but he shared with us his weakness, his willingness to share in the pain and the brokenness of this world. From God comes the greatest act of love humankind has ever experienced. For the power of the resurrection came not from the glory or the power or the fame or the strength or the prosperity or the security or the wealth or the success, but the power of the resurrection came from the bare soul of God hung on a cross that endured the pain, the brokenness, the humility, and the reality of this world for you and for me. You know, there's a phrase which is said, we sometimes are best growing strong in the broken places of life. When a bone is broken, the calcium buildup that welds that bone back together makes that the strongest part of the bone. When our life is committed to God and we bring our broken parts to him for healing, I actually think that we too become strong in the broken places of our lives. See, God uses the broken things. He takes broken soil to produce a crop, broken clouds to give rain, broken grain to give bread, and broken bread to give you and me strength. And sometimes we're like Peter. Sometimes we're like Peter, just weeping bitterly after his failure of denying Jesus, who then returns to greater power than ever before because of God's grace and God's uplifting in his life and saying, Peter, yes, you denied me three times, but you will not only feed my sheep, you will lead my sheep. God hears our cry. The cross says that life is a journey along the road. And where might we might hear a scream and a cry of pain that pierces the very breath and the depth of heaven and hell from different people at different times. And from that cry comes the silence, the peace, the health that God knows and God is in charge and that God cares. So back to my man at the beginning. Some 6 months had passed when I had a call out of the blue from my friend who had suffered loss. And he said, Nick, I've just been through the three longest days of my life. I said, man, it's been 6 months since we last talked. I said, what do you mean? What do you mean you've been through the longest 3 days of your life? He said, God cried with me because he knew what it was to lose his child with Jesus on the cross on Good Friday. And 3 days later, life again came back into the brokenness. He suffered with me in the confusion of not having my beloved relationships anymore, and reminded me he had lost all back in Genesis when Adam and Eve had left the Garden of Goodness. But God had us, he'd not left us. And he reminded me that God made a decision in Genesis 6 to keep going forwards in hope for tomorrow, and that one day all would be renewed and restored. He reminded me, he said, that God had him when he didn't know if he had anything left. And not only that, but God had never let him go. Finally, he said, God comforted me with Psalm 22. As he comforted so many people before me with his words of assurance of hope, the cross was filled with pain, but it was also filled with love, with hope, with life, for all of the world's messiness that it holds. Folks, it is a Good Friday, and it is mixed with a richness of God's deep love for us and our reverent love for him. Amen.